The bigger the business, the bigger the fall. The world's biggest businesses are under the watchful eyes of many. Governments, banks, and private credit agencies pore over records and financial statements with fine-tooth combs, all looking for tiny little mistakes, or in some cases, a really, really big one. One of the largest U.S. companies in the 90s and early 2000s was known as Enron. Enron was a U.S. energy trading and utilities company. The executives of the company seemingly were genius. Their business was booming with success. Shares in Enron traded for up to $90.56. Enron was named America's most innovative company 6 years in a row. But in December 2001, Enron completely imploded with the spilling of the scandal taking place behind closed doors. In parliamentary procedure, a motion to reconsider allows us to bring back a matter that has already been voted on, even after the final gavel tap. Welcome to Reconsidered, a podcast allowing us time to look back at the experiences, relationships, and skills gained through the FFA in order to make the most of our future. The final tap of the gavel has sounded. Let's explore a motion to reconsider. I'm Adrian, former state FFA officer from Oklahoma, and this is Reconsidered. The Wall Street darling, Enron, had fallen in 2001 and become known as one of the biggest accounting frauds in history. From the CEO down to entry-level employees, there was cutting of corners, lying, and deceiving. And when giants fall, they fall hard. The repercussions felt by this scandal were monumental for the energy industry and for Wall Street. What it really comes down to, though, is a lack of ethics. Our guest today is experienced in the business world and does a phenomenal job of living his life ethically. Donnie Smith hails from the great state of Tennessee. Mr. Smith has served in a multitude of roles for Tyson, including serve as the CEO for the company from 2009 to 2016. I'm honored to have him on the show today to help unpack what it really means to live ethically. Hi there, Mr. Smith. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Adrian. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hey, one note. I am actually sitting at the airport waiting to pick my wife up. If you happen to hear an airplane in the background, don't think anything about it. It's normal.
Perfect. Thanks for the heads up. I am so excited for us to get to learn more about your experiences, especially when it comes to living out ethical leadership. So before we jump in today, would you mind just telling us a little bit more about you?
I'm a graduate of the University of Tennessee, where I now serve as a trustee member, which is kind of cool. My wife is also a Tennessee graduate. We have three kids, three adult children, 33, 32, and 30. Started my career straight out of college with Tyson Foods as a broiler serviceman. That just meant I tried to help chicken growers do as good a job as they could do growing the chickens. And then just over the years, you know, was assigned to several different roles. And then 2009, the company asked me to serve as their CEO, which I did for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Retired in early January of 2017. And now I'm so busy, I don't know how I had time to have a job. So I told a guy the other day, he was saying how busy I was. And I said, listen, you know, I may tear apart, but I'm not going to rust out. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life working on affordable food solutions in Africa and trying to have as big an impact I can on folks as possible. Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful, Mr. Smith. I'm not surprised that you're keeping yourself busy through all of it. How have you grown to define ethics?
You know, simply put, I think ethics is knowing what's right and doing what's right. Mm-hmm. You know, you could kind of break down definitions and say, you know, that it's the moral code that informs your behavior and a lot of that stuff. But if you just cut through all that to get to the bottom line, it's knowing what's right and then doing what's right.
Definitely. Throughout the experiences that you've had, how would you say you've come to find or identify the standards that you have for yourself?
My faith is very important to me. I became a Christian shortly after leaving college. When it comes down to what's right for Donnie Smith, obviously, you know, illegal, immoral, or unethical has no place.
How would you recommend that a young person stay strong in those standards that we're holding ourselves to and not be discouraged by all of the mishaps that pop up around us in terms of other people not holding to those standards?
Adrian, that's a great question because, you know, just looking back in my life in college or, you know, just after college starting my job, you're trying to figure stuff out. You know, the first part of your life is really just kind of getting grounded and, mm-hmm. you know, you're away from home or in my case, my wife and I were married just out of college. And so you're just figuring all this stuff out. And then to your point, you see on the news so often about, you know, people that have been elected into public office, people that hold high positions mm-hmm. in companies, even sometimes church leaders, you know, and you see, you know, sometimes these huge moral failures or, you know, speech that is hateful and demeaning. You know, you find yourself thinking, well, it's just not worth it. I mean, everybody is making up their own truth and mm-hmm. everybody thinks, you know, everything's right. And so, you know, where mm-hmm. is true north? And I think it's important for everyone. You know, I mentioned, you know, my faith is my moral compass, and that's what tells me what's true north is, what true north is. But I think it's important for young people to understand we can't really let, I'm going to say, the world or society or whatever the case may be, set our standards. We've got to do that for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having the wherewithal to say, look, this is how I'm going to live my life. These are the standards by which I'm going to make my choices. I think we have to decide that early. And I think we have to not let the media or popular opinion or peer pressure push us off that. And here's something that I think about a lot. You know, in America, we get to choose our standards for living. So for myself, you know, I'm going to be faithful to my faith and I'm going to be faithful to my family. I'm going to live beneath my means so that I can give generously. I am going to work hard and make hard work an important part of my life. I'm going to live my life to make an impact. And I can go on with a few more, but those are my standards for living.
Mm-hmm.
And I've decided that. And the media is not going to change that. Politicians aren't going to change that. The times may change, but they're not going to change my standards for living. And so when a decision comes, you know, so many times we're tempted to prioritize our standard of living above our standards for living, and we'll compromise our standards so that we can make a little more money. You know, maybe we don't do our taxes exactly right, or, you know, maybe we turn a report, an expense report in, and it's not exactly right. Because our standard of living is important to us and we want a little extra cash at the end of the year or whatever. But when we do that, we start down a slippery slope that does not end well. So for me, and I would highly recommend to your listeners, Adrian, that you take the time you need to take to determine what your standards for living are going to be. And then write them down and put them in some prominent place where you can review them often and make them a part of your everyday life and always make your decisions based on your standards for living, because your standard of living will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's my advice there.
Most definitely. I really admire how you have set these standards for yourself and hold to them so strongly. And I agree with you completely. I think that it's really important to have those standards that we have set for ourselves in front of us so that we can see them and be reminded by them. But I am curious, have you ever had a time where it's been difficult for you to hold yourself to those standards that you've set for yourself?
Yeah, life's not easy and life's not black and white. Mm-hmm. And so you're often put in positions that make you have to think through how to make a decision. Let me give you a couple of examples. And I'm going to go way, way back in time, back into the early 80s. I had just been asked to run a feed mill for our company. There was a practice going on at the feed mill that wasn't right, but it had been happening for some time. Now, this is ancient history, and you know, we made so many changes in the company's ethics and all that, you know, this is a real experience. And so I saw this practice happening, and I stopped it.
Mm.
And the guys at the feed mill said, man, they're going to fire you because we've been doing this forever. And I said, look, I'm okay getting fired, but I'm not okay breaking the law. And what we're doing is not right. So we're going to stop. I called my boss and I told him what happened. And the conversation escalated beyond, you know, our location. I was working in Tennessee at the time, beyond that to the corporate office. And the decision kind of came back. Well, okay, we'll try it his way, but, you know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, he'll have to, you know, go back to do it the other way, or, you know, we'll have to get somebody else to do it. And so, you know, I got a call from my boss's boss, and that was the answer to me. And I said, look, and, you know, hey, I'm 23, 24 years old at the time. And I said, look, this is not a test. I'm not going to break the law. And so we're not going to do this anymore. And if you think you have to do that, then you're going to need to fire me and I'll go get another job. And then, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, but I will not do this because this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 3 or 4 years later, I was promoted to a bigger job at the corporate office, handling, you know, at the time, a good bit of money, but ultimately became, you know, over purchasing and on and on and on. And so, you know, the point was, I put it all on the line because we were doing something that was wrong, and I'm just not going to do that. But they saw that at the corporate office and said, that's the kind of person we want to give more responsibility to if they're a good company, right? And obviously they were. And that's why having these standards for living and this moral code is so important, because you're not always going to make decisions that are popular. You got to be sure in your heart that you're doing the right thing. And others will disagree with what mm-hmm. the right thing is. People don't agree with the thing, with the way things ought to be happening. But if you're going to be a strong leader, then you have to be guided by your convictions, and you've got to hold on to those convictions when those dark, difficult times come.
Mm-hmm. And there definitely are consequences for the decisions that we make. When we think about, you know, being a young person who's preparing, is laying the foundation for the rest of our career, the rest of our lives, something I've heard from lots of people is that a lot of older professionals is that it's really important to be mindful of the decisions we're making right now because of how much they impact the rest of our future. How have you seen the ethical decisions that young people have made define or contribute to where they're at currently, even though those decisions were made in the past?
Yeah, I'll give you a great case in point. I was on a mentor call earlier this morning with a young lady. She's a junior at the University of Tennessee. We were talking about, she's getting to the point where she's starting to need to research the companies that she will want to be talking to and working on LinkedIn and working on a resume and all that kind of stuff. And my caution to her was, be very, very careful with your social media accounts. Mm-hmm. I can tell you today, most employers will try to find your Facebook account and just see what's on Facebook. And you know, if you're at a, you know, party or an event or whatever, and, you know, that goofy, fun little picture, you know, kind of looks fun. And, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, an employer's looking at that and going, ooh, yeah, I don't think that there may be a history of bad decision making here. We may want to look past that. So I had a dear friend of mine at work. He used this phrase often. He said, everything counts because everything communicates. Your behavior communicates. Your Facebook page communicates. Your Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. It all communicates. I would just urge your listeners to be very careful. And I tell you today, and I don't really think this is fair, because it's, to me, you know, you mature along the way and people change, et cetera. And I would hate to be judged by what I did in college. But if you listen to the news just in the last 30 days or so, there's been a couple or three instances. Well, go back a little further in the last 4 or 5 months, you know, in confirmation of a Supreme Court judge and, you know, celebrities and others who have had college yearbook picture issues, you know, accusations made about behavior that happened years ago and those kinds of things. And I don't see that getting better. I see that becoming more prevalent. You know, life's all about choices, and we're all gonna you know, suffer the consequences of choices that we make. But your listeners, Adrian, need to be very, very cognizant of the fact that history is not very forgiving. And so just be really careful about the posts you make. And you may even want to go back and, you know, if you've got a Facebook account, go back through it 2 or 3 years, whatever. And if there's something that you don't think an employer would want to see, you better think about what to do about that.
And technology certainly makes it challenging to be able to leave history.
Oh, I'm so glad there weren't cell phones with cameras on them when I was in college. Oh my goodness.
It definitely makes it hard, and it's kind of like walking on eggshells, you know, just because you never know what is being captured or not. And but there is still that aspect of, you know, working to get back in, you know, good graces with yourself. Sure. And with your standing. How would you say, in talking a little bit about recovering from a mistake that we may have made, how do we go about doing that?
Great question. And, you know, the story of Donnie Smith is a story of grace. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, fortunately, you know, my faith is all about forgiveness. Now, I'll tell you, there are consequences to bad choices, and you've got to face the consequences. I'm thinking of a friend who made a bad decision on an expense report and ended up getting fired over it. He didn't get fired over it because he couldn't have unwound what he did. He got fired because he lied about it. And so here's my advice when you mess up. First of all, own it. Second of all, come clean. Third, try to make restitution to those that you harmed, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And then fourth, move on. You know, I'm happen to be sitting in my truck here in the cell phone lot, like we mentioned, and I've got a great illustration in front of me. My rear view mirror is really small, but my windshield's pretty big. And there's a great lesson there for us, because the opportunity's out in front of us, not behind us. And so, you know, I am not going to be a slave to my past. And so regardless of your past, move on, because the opportunity to impact people's lives is in front of you, not behind you.
Yes, definitely.
So take that little four-step process, own it, right? And admit it. Yes, I was wrong. Try to clean it up. Make restitution if you can. You know, accept forgiveness. Give forgiveness when necessary, and then move on. Because you know, life's too short to let your past become an anchor that slows you down from having the impact that you're designed to have and fulfilling the potential that your life has.
I think that that is a great four-step process to overcoming a mistake that's been made. Just from your personal experiences even, how would you say we can go about living in a way feasibly to be earning people's trust in our character?
Trust is earned in droplets and lost in bucketfuls. And I think the thing that allows people to trust others is authenticity, just being genuine, maybe not taking yourself so seriously, learning to laugh at yourself a little bit. And look, nobody's perfect. Nobody gets it right all the time. And everybody understands that everybody makes bad decisions, right? And so they get that. But what they don't like and the person they can't trust is the person that makes excuses about it. Oh, it wasn't my fault, you know, about this happened, you know, you don't understand, and they don't own it, and they blame others, you know, for what went wrong or, you know, whatever. And I tell you, for me, look, the buck stops here. My life is my fault. You know, I've had a lot of stuff happen to me through the years, you know, that we won't get into that's not been good. But I'm not gonna let that be an excuse that's gonna drag me down. My life's my fault. And I'm gonna own every decision I make, good or bad. And I am a purposeful person. And I'll tell you, I may mess stuff up, but I promise you I'm doing it on purpose. I mean, I really believe it's the right thing to do. Now, it might not turn out to be the best decision. I've made several business decisions along the way that I thought was the right thing to do, and turns out it didn't work, and we changed course and went a different direction, and operations got better, or, you know, sales improved, or whatever the case may be. So I'm far from a person that gets it right every time, but I own every decision I make, and I'm very, very vulnerable, very genuine, very transparent. I live my life in a fishbowl. And that's good because it keeps me focused on my standard. There was a friend of mine back years and years and years ago. This would have been late 80s, early 90s. He gave me some advice, some sage advice that I've carried with me my whole life. He said, "Donnie, always keep yourself in a position to where the cost of failure is a price that's too high to pay." Mm. There's a, you know, if you want to call it this, there's a Donnie Smith brand. And I have spent almost 60 years building that brand, and it can all be torn apart with one bad decision, you know, could take years to overcome. And so what I try to do is I just always keep myself in a position to where, you know, the cost of failing, you know, it's just a price that I'm unwilling to pay. It's just too high of a price. And so I'm willing to make choices that keep me aligned to my true north, knowing that I'm sacrificing other things that I could say yes to, but I'm not going to, because if somebody saw that, then they would say I'm a hypocrite. So that's how I do it, and that's how I would advise others to try to do it as well.
What would you say is the greatest piece of advice that you have for someone who is beginning life after just being a state officer?
Boy, that's a deep question. I have a little talk that I give sometimes, and it starts off with me on stage with two poster boards, and each poster board has an M and a T on it. And so, and I will teach the audience this simple little phrase, MTMTTMT. We go over it a bunch of times, and to me, that's the lesson. And MTMTTMT stands for make the main thing the main thing. Life comes at us in a lot of different directions. You know, there's heartache that comes, there's pain that comes. Sometimes sickness comes, death comes, disappointment comes, and all those things are common to everybody. They come to everybody. And if we will create our standards for living, figure out what our true north is, then when all that stuff comes, then we've got a compass that will guide us through those hard times, hopefully better times ahead. But if you don't set those standards and you're willing to let society determine how you make your decisions, that lifestyle, in my opinion, is fraught with peril. So my advice to your listeners would be, look, create your true north. And once you get those standards set, live by them. And life's all about choice. Choose wisely.
Thank you so much, Mr. Smith, for sharing all of this with us.
Well, I've had a great time. You have asked very, very deep and thoughtful questions. And I've appreciated the opportunity to get to visit with you on ethics, not just business ethics, but ethics and ethical behavior, because it's so important.
Are you living in a way that reflects who you are, who you want to be? Do you need to identify the standards you're going to hold yourself to? Do you need to reconcile a situation or a relationship you messed up in? Our standards for the way we live our life need to hold true in everything we do. If we look at the world around us, it's easy to see that ethics are important. But it's also easy to see, just by watching the news, that we as a society aren't always the greatest at achieving that goal of living ethically. The key to overcoming this is small, but true. It requires us to focus on how we live individually. We can't allow big, high-pressure situations or any little in-between decisions to make the worst of us. Living our lives ethically means we are living to the best standards we possibly can, always. Hold true to your moral compass, your true north, in all that you do, and keep pushing yourself to be the best representation of yourself. You can check out additional State Officer Reconsidered resources online, or talk to your state staff to gain more perspective on how to use the skills we gained during our state officer experience and what it really means to live ethically. Thank you so much for listening in today. We hope to have you back as we keep reconsidering what life after state office really is all about. Let's consider that reconsidered.